Blog Talk Radio.
Have allotted,
But I thank God just the same for being able to come before you this evening. And so without any further ado, we're going to go on into prayer. I have omitted the call-in number, and as I get that number available, I will give it to you, my Lord and dedicated listeners out there in digital radio land. And so you can call in. Well, you can't call in, but you can email. You can email me at janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com with all of your comments, and we welcome, you know, your, if you want to write in, you can write us, and you can also have a designated number where you can call also. So there is ways that you can contact the Oshia for Zion if you would like to speak with Senior Pastor Janice Ward. So for right now, we're going to go into prayer, and I'm asking all of you, my friends, extended family, kinship, and all of you that is making Oshia for Zion to be what it is on today, would just bow your heads with me as we reverence God and go down in prayer. Thank God. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. You, hallelujah, we thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. We're asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. God, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within their very souls. Father God, I would be so mindful to give your name the glory, all the honor. In your Son Jesus' righteous name, I pray. And we shall all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just want you to get comfortable. Get your comfortable seat and get your cushion to put behind your posture as you help me to enjoy the Lord and bring you the divine word of truth on this evening. And our subject on tonight will be attitude. Now, we know each and every one of us that cease to exist have one, an attitude. We either have a pleasant attitude or we have a not-so-pleasant attitude. And I would say that words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. We know that the longer that I and you live, the more convinced that you and I become that life is 10% of what's happened to us and 90% of how we respond to it. Now, you might find this shocking, but I believe the single most significant decision that you and I can make on a day-to-day basis is our choice of attitude. It is more important than your past, your education, my education, my bankroll, your bankroll, my success, your success or failures, fame or fortune, pain, whatever people think of me or you or might say about you and I, my circumstances or my position. We know that our attitude, hallelujah, is that single string that keeps me and you going, or it will cripple you and I. Progress. And it alone, hallelujah, can fuel fire or salt. And my hope is that when my attitude is right, then there's no barriers too high or no valleys too deep. No dream, hallelujah, that we know that can be too extreme or challenge, too great for you and I. And yet, we must, hallelujah, admit that we spend more of our time concentrating and fretting over the strings that snap, dangle, and pop, the things that can't be changed, then we do giving attention to the ones that remain. Our choice of attitude, just stop and think about it, saints of God and you that are out there in digital radio on tonight. We know that some of the things that suck up most of our attention are energy. All of them that's incapable and occasionally demoralizing, that the clock continued to tick, the weather, the temperature, the wind, continue to block. People's actions and reactions, especially the criticism, who won or lost the ball game, what kind of delays that we encountered at the airport, waiting room, in traffic, are the results of an x-ray. Hallelujah. The cost of groceries, the cost of gasoline, clothes, the cars, everything on the job, irritation. We find out the disappointments, workload, and the greatest waste of energy in our illogical-minded world of today is electricity or natural gas or any other product. It's the energy that we waste fighting the inevitable. And to make matters even worse, we are the one who suffer, who grows sour, who gets ulcers, who become twisted and negative and tight-fisted, and we become fighters. Some actually die because of this, because you're holding all of this inside instead of letting it go. We find out that dozens of comprehensive studies have established this fact. And we know that there was also a research that was done. About 4,500 widows, within 6 months of their wives' death, they made a comparison with other men the same age. And we found out that the widows had the mortality rate of 40% higher. So we know, hallelujah, that our attitude can either be a positive one or it can be a failure. And we know that, hallelujah, we have to put value, and we know that there is value of attitude. And we're going to go and see and search out just what the scripture speaks about in our attitude, in the value of our character, saints of God. And friends, and you that are out there in my listening audience on tonight. Now, we know that in the little letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippians, he didn't miss the word when it came to attitude. Although a fairly peaceful people and happy flock, we find out that the Philippians had a few personality skirmishes that could have derailed them and hindered their momentum. But knowing how to counterproductive that would be, he came right to the point, their attitude. And if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, he said that make joy complete by being of the same mind, people of God and friends and kinship and extended family members and you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight. He asked us to maintain the same love. And we should be united in spirit, have an intent on one purpose. We read in the law of Philippians 2:1-2. Now, what does all this mean, you might ask? Well, let's go back and take a look. There is encouragement in the person of Christ. We find out there is love. There is also plenty of fellowship of the Spirit for the Christian to enjoy. Hallelujah. And we know that likewise affection and compassion, hallelujah, time is really running. Heaven is full and running over. Hallelujah. It's running over. I lost where I was, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But it's running over with love. We know that. And that even things through earth is pretty barren at times. So Paul pleads for us to tap into that positive, encouraging storehouse that you have.
You might say, how can we do that? By being of the same mind. He's telling us to take charge of our own minds. Clearly a command. And we Christians have the God-given ability to put our minds on those things that build us up, strengthen us, and to encourage us and help ourselves and others. God said, do that. He also commanded that. And we know that we should have the attitude of unselfishness and humility. You know, God was a humility spirit. That's what God was and is. God always was humble. So we get this from Paul, and Paul says that the specific verse, hallelujah, at 3 and 4 of Philippians 2. Now he says that do nothing from selfishness or emptiness, conceit, but with humility of the mind. Let each of you regard one another as more important than him or herself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Now, we find out that in today's society, and some of us that call ourselves Christians in today's world, they will go down in prayer and say, Lord, bless me and my family. Heal me and my family. You know, and they won't even think about the next fellow, you know, that needs prayer also. And we find that to be a selfish prayer. Although we know that God does not hear selfish prayers. And when we pray, we should say, Father God, watch over me, my family, those under the sound of my voice. And if you know some of them that you want to make your request known to God, then you can do so. But we should also look out for the interests of others. And this is a mental choice we make, a decision not to focus on just self, me and mine, but on the other person. It's a servant mentality. The scriptures are encouraging. I have read on God's word about being encouraged and also encouraging one another. And if we are to be and have a like mind, we are to be humble, and we should have a God-fearing attitude. So when we are strengthened, our grip on our attitude, that would be one great place to begin, is with humility. Now here's an example that says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God. Hallelujah. And we know that he did not form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. So we know that God was humble. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And we find that in the law of Philippians 2 and 5 through 8. Maybe you have never stopped to think about it, but behind the scene, it was an attitude that brought the Savior down to us. He deliberately chose to come among us because he realized and valued our needs. He placed a higher significance on it than his own comfort and prestigious position in humility. He set aside the glory of heaven and came to be among you and I. He refused to let his position keep us at arm's length. And we know that attitude of position, an attitude of a positive encouragement. And we find out, if we keep on down, that he said in verse 14, he tells us to do all things without grumbling or disputing. If ever a generation needed that counsel, ours does. It is virtually impossible to complete a day without falling in the trap of grumbling or disputing. We find out that it is so easy to pick up the habit of negative thinking. Why, you might ask? Because there are so many things around us that prompt us to be irritable. Let's not kid ourselves. Life is not a bed of roses. Hallelujah. And so we know that if we look into what they call the Murphy Law, here is a true example of us as a society. This is what lingers in our mind. We find out that nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you think. If anything can go wrong, trust me, it will. We know that Murphy was an optimist. And also, we have heard each other say these identical things. A day without a crisis is a total loss. The other line always moves faster. The chances that we know, hallelujah, the chances of bread falling with the peanut butter and jelly side down is directly proportional to the cost of the carpet. We find out that inside every large problem is a series of small problems struggling to get out. We also find out that 90% of everything is crude, and whatever hit the fan will not be evenly distributed. No matter how long or hard you shop for an item, after you've bought it, it will be on sale somewhere cheaper. Any tool dropped while preparing a car will roll underneath to the exact sum. The repairman will never have seen a model quite like yours before. You will remember that you forgot to take out the trash when the garbage truck is two doors away. Friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. The light at the end of a tunnel is the headlight of an oncoming train. And beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone. Every item on this list is an attitude assailant. And the simple fact is that they are so true, we don't even have to imagine that they are possibilities. We know, hallelujah, and I know my time is coming on in, that they happen, hallelujah. And we know that I can just imagine Paul when he said that he write about grumbling and disputing. And he wasn't coming from an ivory tower or a positive, encouraged attitude. It's essential for survival in a world saturated with Murphy laws. So I would say to you that joy is really the underlying theme of Philippians. Joy that isn't fickle, needing a lot of things to keep it smiling. Joy that is deep and consistent. The awe that reduces the friction of life. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3:1. Hallelujah. So in ending, I would say, therefore, my brethren, whom I love to see, my joy and my crown, to stand firm in the Lord, my beloved, be joyous in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord's near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. All right. I hope and pray I've said something to inject your spirit and impact your mind. As I have given unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
Trying to make them understand.